Good evening, people, and welcome to episode 2 of the Zero Agendas podcast with me and... I say episode 2, but really it's episode 3. I recorded an episode last week, but in all honesty, I just didn't think it was up to par, so I didn't put it out. When you're solo podding, it's very difficult to have the right energy in a pod, and if it's not there, it's very obvious. So I didn't want to put out an inferior product, so I let that week go. So apologies for that. I will be more consistent and I will be dropping every single week moving forward. This week has been quite a big one in football. There's been a lot going on, which is surprising for an international break. Yesterday I caused a little bit of uproar on the timeline by dropping my, and I say my heavy emphasis, best Premier League 11 of all time. Manchester United fans were not very happy with me, but such is life. There's some other big news to discuss. Trent Alexander-Arnold has finally revealed the worst kept secret in football, that he is leaving his boyhood club, Liverpool, to join Real Madrid, the biggest club in world football, and London-based Liverpool fans are fuming. They're calling him a rat, saying, how can he betray his boyhood club, yada, yada, yada. You, my friend, why do you not support Crystal Palace? You live in Fulton Heath. Yeah. let me talk about Trent going to Real Madrid. Why don't you support Palace? You understand that there are bigger and better things in the world, and Trent is simply going to search for those. But we'll discuss that. What else has been there? Thomas Tuchel's first couple of games as the England manager. The boy wonder, Miles Lewis-Skelly, performing for him. So we're going to discuss that. And we're going to have a little bit of myth-busting. A bit of legend-killing word to Randy Orton. There's a former Premier League striker. Two former Premier League strikers. Who I am actually fans of, believe it or not. By the time this episode ends, you will understand that I am a fan of both of them. I just don't think people should be confusing their ambitions with their capabilities. So we will be getting into that little bit of myth-busting, so to speak. But we will start with, you know, what I think is the most prevalent issue of this week, and that is the Premier League all-time 11. I will give my exact reasons for why I selected who I selected and the reasons why certain people that some people feel should have been in it were omitted. First thing I want to say, though, is I do find it really, really stupid that a competition that's been running for 33 years, you know, with, let's just say on average, 25 players per 20 man's team, 25 players for 20 teams for 33 years is a lot of football players. A lot of football players. If you happen to be the second best or third best in your position over a 33-year period, it's not a disrespect. It doesn't mean that you weren't great. It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't rate you. It just means that somebody happened to be better than you. And that's okay. You know, I saw so many tweets at me. Ah, oh, Fergie must have been a miracle worker winning 13 titles with a poor side. Nobody said Fergie had a poor side. You know, me thinking Ryan Giggs isn't the greatest Premier League winger ever, left winger ever, doesn't mean that Ryan Giggs wasn't the best left winger in the Premier League in 1993. It just means that since 1993, somebody or some people have been better than him. That doesn't stop the fact that he was great. Just means somebody was better. And that's all right. So we're going to get into it. Right. I went with a 4-3-3 system. Yeah, it's the most common system in modern football. And I chose Alisson Becker of Liverpool as my goalkeeper. Now, a lot of people, mainly Chelsea fans, weren't too happy with that, and they believed that Petr Cech should have been the goalkeeper. And I understand why they think Petr Cech should be the goalkeeper. He has the most clean sheets in Premier League history. He won, how many titles did he win? 4, 5, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 11, 12. No, 10, 11. 9, 10. Yeah, so I think he won 3, maybe 4, because one of them, he wasn't a starter, was he? Courtois took his place. And then he came to Arsenal. And Cech wasn't great at Arsenal by any stretch. But he was past his best. He was an old man. We can forgive that. The reason I went with Alisson is that I just believe that in the modern era, the goalkeeper has far more responsibility. I think the goalkeepers of today have a lot more that they have to manage than the goalkeepers of the early 2000s. I mean, we saw when Unai Emery tried to have Cech playing out from the back. It was a catastrophe. I just think the goalkeepers today, you have to be a sweeper keeper. You have to, you know, you have to be able to use your feet as well as do the... Well, you don't have to do the basics of goalkeeping because we have keepers like Ramsdale and Onana who are pretty awful at the basics of goalkeeping, but because they can use their feet, get big moves. But that's another story for another day. So, yeah, because of Alisson's all-round game and the differences of the modern goalkeeper, as well as being as good, if I think better, and as commanding as any keeper I've ever seen, that's why I went with Alisson. I think the top table would be Alisson, Cech, Van der Sar, Schmeichel, Peter, that is. I would say Courtois, but I just don't feel like he was here for long enough. I didn't think Seaman was great, if I'm entirely honest, even as an Arsenal fan. I didn't think Lehmann was great neither. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people using the amount of titles won as a factor. I don't think any goalkeepers won more titles than Edison, and I won't put him anywhere near any greatest anything. I don't rate him as a keeper at all. I would have him above Onana and Ramsdale in the sense of they can use their feet and they're bad keepers. I just think he's a very average keeper that's great with his feet, Edison. So I won't put him anywhere near despite his success. So yeah, that would be my Mount Rushmore of keepers. Alisson, Cech, Peter Schmeichel and Edwin van der Sar. And for me, Alisson trumps all because of he's as good, I think better than the rest at what goalkeepers are supposed to do, plus the modern element. Right back caused a bit of a stir. And a lot of the logic behind the stir didn't make any sense because you had people say, how can you pick Kyle Walker? Should be Gary Neville. Gary Neville won 8 Prems. Again, I think Neville was brilliant. I think Neville is massively underrated, mainly so by himself. Gary Neville has put a narrative out that he was a desperately average player, and he definitely wasn't an average player. He was a brilliant right back for many years. But the modern element and Walker's recovery and his technicalities with the ball. You know, I just think if you're a left winger, is there a right back that you would rather play? Would you rather play against Kyle Walker than any other right back in the Premier League? And I would say no. I think we've seen Kyle Walker lock up the best of the best on the left. I just can't think of any Premier League fullback that someone would look at and say, yeah, let me play against Kyle Walker instead of him. The only one that I think has the ability and attributes that should trouble Kyle Walker for that spot is Reece James. However, he doesn't have the body of work because he doesn't stay fit. Yeah. But if you was to ask me, best right backs, I would say Walker, Neville. I really like Zabaleta at a point. Trent, not because of his natural fullback play, but because of what he brings to a football team as a fullback. I think James should be the most balanced of all, but again, the body of work isn't there. So I went with Kyle Walker. Left back, there was no pushback. It's Ashley Cole. A few people tried to squeeze Patrice Evra in, but you don't have a legitimate argument to say you've seen a better left back in this league than Ashley Cole. It's a non-contest. Like, there was no pushback there, and that's fine. Centre back, a lot of uproar. And that uproar is, again, there wasn't much uproar for Van Dijk. There was a little bit. There was a little bit. I went with Van Dijk and Sol Campbell. And I'm going to give my reasons why I went with Van Dijk and Sol Campbell. I always think that centre-backs, you have one covering defender, you know, that calls the line and sweeps round, and one aggressive front foot defender that attacks the ball in this era, picks up the man and is the front foot defender, right? So for me, the best four Premier League defenders... Right, this is going to sound nuts. Terry's in the best four. But I think Terry's in the best four because of circumstance, not because of John Terry as a defender. John Terry was good. But I do feel if Chelsea don't get that takeover and Chelsea stay the club they are, they were, John Terry never gets into these conversations. Ever, 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 ever. For example, in an alternative universe, Jesper Kroenke doesn't score that goal in 2003. Roman Abramovich doesn't buy Chelsea. He buys Liverpool. And he pumps all that money into Liverpool. But to maintain the home, the boyhood club kind of thing, and those domestic bodies that you need to connect with the fans, Carragher and Gerrard stay. Obviously, Gerrard, so Gerrard's cool, whatever. But in an alternative universe, Jamie Carragher could be seen in the exact same light as John Terry. Like, if Roman buys Liverpool instead, Jamie Carragher is seen as what John Terry is. Like, let's not act like John Terry wasn't playing in the Premier League for like 4 or 5 years before Roman came around. John Terry's name wasn't in these conversations. Jonathan Woodgate and Matty Upson were in England squads before John Terry. John Terry was a non-factor. It's only when the money came in, top players were put around him, and John Terry's reputation soared. I don't like to assess players by looking at old clips and highlights because everybody got ragdolled at a point. But if you do ever happen to stumble across any games, you know, and watch whole games, the myth of John Terry isn't what's put out there. You can see it for yourself. But again, I understand the career he had, the things Chelsea won, the reputation he has. You can't ignore him. So he can be in a conversation. So it would be, for me, I went Van Dijk and Sol, Rio and Terry. Now the reason, the reason I went with Sol is I think Sol, whilst he could do the defensive leader, read the game, cover and defend the thing and done it brilliantly, he was equally brilliant at being the aggressive front foot defender. Let's not forget 2002 World Cup, Sol and Rio. Sol, team of the tournament. Let's not forget Euro 2004, Sol and Terry. Sol, team of the tournament. Let's not forget Sol won a cup with Tottenham, which is a fucking miracle. Yeah? First black captain to win a trophy at Wembley. Yeah? First black captain with Tottenham Hotspur. Yeah? Sol won the league with Arsenal twice in his, 4 or 5 seasons. Once unbeaten, Lauren, right midfielder, converted to right back. Kola Touré, centre midfielder, converted to centre back. Sol, Ashley Cole. We're not going to go into Ashley Cole's youth career because Ashley Cole was clearly a left back. But you get my point. Like, Sol won a league with defenders that weren't natural defenders. Yeah. Sol came in and broke up what at the time was seen as the greatest back four of all time, and Sol was the main man. Took it. Adams, Keown, yeah, cheers, bye. This is mine. Yeah, so I don't understand why people think they can just talk crazy about Sol. Sol even then went to Portsmouth, who weren't typically a Premier League club, had been in the Premier League for a few years, but, you know, they were as a team consolidating themselves. I think they finished 8th, won the FA Cup. Sorry, Rio not going there and doing that. JT's not going there and doing that. We saw Rio when he went to QPR. JT went to Villa in the Championship and, you know, playoffs. So winning cups with Portsmouth. You know, team of the tournament with England twice. I think he played in more tournaments for England than any other defender. So I'm not quite sure why people were turning up their noses at Sol. I'm just going to assume that they weren't watching football and they judged Sol off the personality that he puts out into the football world and not what was actually taking place on the pitch. But it is what it is. There were some arguments with Virgil. All the arguments people tried to make about Virgil, they're dead now. A couple of years ago, oh, he doesn't have the longevity. He's been performing at this level for 7-8 years now. The longevity's there. He's about to win his second title. The honours are there. PFA Player of the Year, Teams of the Season, the honours are there. Virgil can't be spoken to. Like I said with Walker, I don't think you can look at any defender you've seen in the Premier League era and say, yeah, I'd rather deal with Virgil than him. I don't think there's one. If there is, feel free to point it out to me. But I don't see it. So here we are. Then we moved into midfield. I went with a three-man midfield. I had Patrick Vieira sitting. I had Yaya Toure and I had Steven Gerrard. We'll work backwards. Now, a lot of people say KDB should be in. KDB should be in. He should. There is a legitimate argument. If you think KDB is better than Steven Gerrard or Yaya Toure, I cannot and will not argue with you. It is a perfectly valid opinion. Yeah, I got no problem with the opinion. I just think Gerrard deserves it because of the amount of time he performed at the level he did and the situation that he performed in when he did. KDB could have a bad game. Yeah, Bernardo could step up. Gundogan could step up. Yaya at a point could step up. David Silva could step up. Gerrard never had that luxury. Gerrard had to step up or the team didn't step up. I don't think if you put Gerrard in any other environment, he doesn't perform to the same level. I don't think others perform to the same level Gerrard did in his environment. So I went with Gerrard. But again, like I said, I wouldn't argue with any other suggestion. Yaya got some pushback. Only had a couple good seasons. So what? Not true, but even if it were true, so what? Yaya on his day put in the best performances we are going to see from that role. No one can chat to him. Yeah, that's just how I see it. If you say, again, you prefer KDB, you prefer KDB. If you say you prefer Lampard, I don't agree. I can understand why. If you say Scholes, I got a problem. I like Scholes. I don't think Scholes put up those levels of performances. Very good player, great player, but not that level, in my opinion. Vieira, they say Kante. Kante, great. Not talking to Vieira. Technically, physically, statistically, honours. Did you know that Patrick Vieira got selected by his peers in a team of the year 6 seasons in a row? The only seasons he wasn't in the Premier League team of the year is his first season in England when he joined in September and his last season where I think he missed a fair few games before we sold him to Juve. The 6 years in between, well, his first season we won the title, 97-98. Three titles, 6 team of the years. I'm sorry, Kante, great. Roy Keane, great. Like, I thought that Roy Keane should get more suggestions than Scholes, personally. But I didn't really see many people say Keane, which I found odd. But yeah, Keane and Scholes and Kante were the names that, and Lampard, sorry, were the names that were suggested the most to take out the ones that I chose. Which, again, great players. I just don't think the same level. But I wouldn't argue. I won't argue with you if you do. I just don't agree. I don't think there's a massive amount between all these guys. I just think these men were better, and that's fine. Left wing. Now, I properly understand the pushback on this one. I don't know what people were watching when Eden Hazard was playing in this league. Like, I proper don't know what people were watching, but how anybody was watching Eden Hazard for the 7 years that he played in this league and wasn't wowed by him, it makes me believe you don't really love this game. That's honestly how I see it. Like, because Hazard, just such an amazing player. Like, even if his team's not winning or he's not scoring, he's not creating, he's just a joy to watch. Not the same as Messi, but that type of player. I always said, like, years ago that what Barca should have done is push Messi back and sign Hazard. I always felt Real Madrid, he wasn't a Real Madrid player, he was a Barca player. I truly believe if Eden Hazard went to Barca instead of Real Madrid, his career would have ended in a very different way. Again, people say Giggs won, what, 13 titles, 11 titles? I can't remember the exact number. And Giggs was here for a long time and done the business for a long time. And Giggs was an elite player in two entirely different roles, as a flying winger and as a creative central midfielder. And Giggs deserves all the flowers in the world. But if I had to pick left wingers in this league, before I'd pick Giggs, I'd pick Hazard, I'd pick Mane, I'd pick Perez, and then I'd pick Giggs. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Giggs. I just think those left wingers were better than Giggs. It doesn't change the fact that in the 90s, Giggs wasn't an amazing left winger. It was new. Well, it was new to me. I was a little kid, but, you know, it doesn't take away from that. I just think that as time's gone on, that role has changed. It's more goal-orientated. There's more work rate. It's more than going outside your man and crossing it in. I just think those four were better than Giggs. But, again, take nothing away from Giggs. Not a disrespect. Doesn't mean I don't rate him. Doesn't mean I don't think he deserved the plaudits that he got, the titles that he won. I just think that as time has gone on, some people have come into his position and have been better than him. Right wing. This was difficult. I think right wing was the only position where I struggled to draw a line over who it should be, and that was between Cristiano Ronaldo and Mohamed Salah. And Salah deserves a place because what Salah's done over the last, 8 years has been phenomenal. Like, his goals, his assists, his performances, like, consistency, staying injury-free to perform at this level for so long at his age is crazy. I just think, I went with Ronaldo. I just think what Ronaldo done in those last 3 years at Manchester United, Salah doesn't have that level of quality. And before people get upset, that doesn't mean Salah doesn't have a crazy level of quality. It just means that Ronaldo had more quality. That doesn't take away from his. It just means Ronaldo is better, in my opinion. If you think Salah, you think Salah. I'm not going to argue with you. I think those two are head and shoulders above anybody in that role. I just preferred, I didn't like what I saw of either of them because they don't play for my team, but I just preferred what I saw from Ronaldo. But if somebody thinks, yeah, Salah has to take the nod, who am I to argue? Striker would be difficult for most people, but not for me. As everybody knows, Thierry Henry is arguably my favourite player of all time. I don't think he has a peer in this league. Shearer's unfortunate to miss out, score more goals in this league than anybody else. Aguero, unfortunate to miss out. Fantastic record. Harry Kane, some would say Wayne Rooney. Brilliant footballer. As good a footballer as Henry, maybe, or close to. Better footballer than Aguero, Shearer and Kane. In the Henry bracket, but just not the Henry level. So again, Rooney missing out doesn't mean that he wasn't great. Shearer missing out doesn't mean that he wasn't great. It just means that Henry was better. And I don't think there's any real argument you can make to say that any striker's been better than Thierry Henry. more golden boots than anyone. Salah will catch him this season, but he's had like 2-3 extra seasons. Another story for another day. So yeah, I went with Henry. I don't think many can argue. So to break it down, that's my reasons for the players I chose and the players that were omitted. I hope anybody that was unsure as to why or had an issue with why can understand my reasoning now. So just to reiterate, we had Alisson in goal, Kyle Walker right back, Van Dijk and Campbell centre backs, Ashley Cole left back, Patrick Vieira as our sitting midfielder and captain, Yaya Toure and Steven Gerrard as my 2 8s, Eden Hazard as my left winger, Cristiano Ronaldo as my right winger, and Thierry Henry as my striker. Okay, so that was my Prem Greatest 11. Cool. I have made everything in that topic clear. Moving on swiftly, Trent has finally revealed, well, David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, and whatever other journalists have revealed that Trent is joining Real Madrid on a free. Liverpool fans not happy. They're comparing it to Ashley Cole joining Chelsea from Arsenal in 2007, which I just think is stupid. I think if a player sees out his contract and goes abroad to a massive team, I think if you're a fan of that club and a fan of that player, you wish them the best and just hope they have their 3-4 years there and come back and see out their careers or whatever. Like, I don't understand. If Bukayo Saka signed another deal at Arsenal, and when he's 27, left Arsenal to go Real Madrid on a free, I wouldn't have a problem. Good luck. Like, especially if he manages to achieve what Trent's achieved at Liverpool. Trent's won absolutely everything at Liverpool. Absolutely everything. Like, he's been a brilliant servant. He's performed. He's won. He's got his flaws, but he's never let you down. He's done everything he possibly could. Like, when he was a 7-8-year-old in the academy, if you could say to the average Liverpool fan or him, yeah, this kid here, he's going to win 2 titles. He's going to win the Champions League. He's going to win 2 League Cups. He's going to win the FA Cup. He's going to win the Super Cup. He's going to win the World Club Cup. And then he's going to go Real Madrid for 3 years. Oh, fucking brilliant. What a career that is. How great is that? How great is that? Like, I don't understand why you begrudge him. They're calling him a rat. It's not like he's fucking having secret meetings to go Man United or something, which is pretty much what Ashley Cole done. You know what I mean? It's absurd. So I think any Liverpool fan should just, you know what? Trent's been brilliant for us. He's been key to our success. Now he's moving on to bigger and better. Hope he does brilliant there. And if one day the doors open again, and he comes back and sees out his days here. But to be calling him a rat and act like he's betrayed the club is borderline ridiculous. It's not even borderline ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous. I hope people, you know, engage their brains a little bit and make more informed, give more informed opinions, because to me, that it just makes no sense whatsoever. Tuchel and England. I didn't watch the Latvia game. I just couldn't care enough about England versus Latvia. I hate the way the World Cup qualification is set up. I'm going to be real with you. I just think that you just play teams that there's just no point in England playing. Like, why are England playing Latvia? Like, what are you getting out of that game? It's just silly. Like, I don't like it. So I didn't watch. But I did hear good things. I hear that they were knocking the ball around. There was more attacking intent. Lewis Skelly was very impressive. Declan Rice was playing in his actual position, not being used out of position. Hope Arteta was watching. Kane, of course, was getting on the score sheet. Reece James got a great free kick. My boy Ezri Konsa getting his recognition and getting games. I'm happy to see that. Eze got a goal. Phil Foden stunk out the joint against Albania. I feel so vindicated with the Phil Foden stuff, man. I can't lie. I feel so vindicated with the Foden stuff. Amazingly talented player, but reputation is not befitting the performances at all. Like, He has coattailed his way to a super rep that he has not earned with his performances on the pitch. Outside of last season, he's just been one of the guys that's there. Last season, he was the guy, I give him that. But outside of that, he's just been one of the guys. And now that the pressure is on and they need him to be the guy, he's showing you that he ain't the guy. So yeah, and even and England, he's just not performing, and I don't know, he's not a right winger. He's gonna play him in the 10. He's not gonna perform in the 10. I'll play him off the left or play him off the right. We've done it all with Foden now. Foden is a very good player, but he's a luxury player, and he needs everything to be working well around him for him to perform. He's not a go-to guy, and the sooner everyone realizes that, the better. Okay, so yeah, very happy for Lewis Skelly. Let's see if Tuchel can install a winning mentality into the England team and finally push England over the line, because Southgate and the FA, in keeping Southgate, were clearly just happy to be here. Tuchel has a winning mentality, so let's see where he takes us. Right, my favourite part, the part I've been waiting for. Myth-busting. Jermaine Defoe and Andrew Cole. Jermaine Defoe and Andrew Cole doing the rounds on podcasts, and they're being asked, oh, do you think he was better than this guy? Do you think they were better than this guy? And I'm going to be real with you. I am a black man from the Southeast London borough of Lewisham. Yeah? A lifelong Arsenal fan. Also from the Southeast London borough of Lewisham is one Ian Wright. An Arsenal legend. And I was a big fan of Defoe. And I was a big fan of Cole. Until they had the nerve to go on podcasts and say that they think they were better than Ian Wright. Now that pissed me off. Andy Cole, I can understand why you may think you're better than Ian. You weren't. And there's literally nothing to suggest that you were. But I can understand why you think you were. But Defoe? Where the hell do you get off saying you were better than Ian? On what planet, where and when were you ever better than Ian? It never happened. Never, ever, ever. Defoe went and said he was better than Vardy, better than Kane, better than Ian. And I understand, look, I played as a striker, not at these lot's level, but I played at a decent level as a striker. I understand the importance of competition and believing that you are the best and you are better than a certain man. I understand that. When you are playing, when you have retired, there is no gain to being delusional enough to sit on things and say you think you are better than this guy and that guy. Okay? None whatsoever. So, without further ado, we're going to assess records. Okay? One thing that gets on my nerves when Andy Cole's brought up in particular is people only reference Premier League goal scoring tallies. Players didn't only play in the Premier League. There were many competitions. There was the UEFA Cup. There's the Champions League. There's the FA Cup. There's the League Cup. There's international football. Before the Premier League, there's the First Division. Now, let's not forget, Ian Wright is a few years older than Andy Cole. So Ian Wright, not only did he play in the Premier League, he also played in the First Division, which is what the Premier League was before it became the Premier League in the 1992-93 season. So you can tell us that, you know, Andy Cole scored 187 Premier League goals. Wonderful. Ian Wright has a better top flight record than Andy Cole. And not just by a little bit, by quite a considerable amount. And I'm going to tell you exactly what that amount is, right? So what people do, they look at, you know, they go on the Premier League website and they look at the numbers on the Premier League website and they think, okay, this is my answer. This is who scored the most goals. Well, the First Division was the same level as the Premier League, first of all, because they're pretty much the same league. Okay, so Ian Wright's top flight record. Yeah, now let's remember as well, Ian Wright played for Crystal Palace when they were a promoted side. Then Arsenal bought him. We were the champions when we bought him. Then at the end of his deal, I think he was like 35, he went to West Ham. I think by the time he went to Forest and that, they was in the Championship. So I think he played for Palace, Arsenal, and West Ham in the Premier League, in the top flight of English football. Now, Ian Wright, in the top flight of English football, played 315 matches. Yeah, 315 matches. In that time, he scored 165 top flight goals. Yeah, in 315 matches. Okay? That is an incredible record for anyone. It's better than 1 in 2. Andy Cole, for context, when he played in the top flight, he made one appearance for Arsenal in the old First Division, and we sold him to Bristol City. He killed it for Bristol City, and then Newcastle bought him. He killed it for them. I think he scored like 12 in 18. Then they came up, and then he had that amazing season where he set the Premier League record alongside Shearer, but I think Cole may have done it in less games. I can't quite remember. But he had that amazing season where he scored 34 goals, and that set him on his way. United signed him, won everything with United, and then went on to Blackburn, went on to Fulham, went on to Man City. Had a great career. No taking that away from him. But 187 goals in 415 matches is nowhere near as good as Ian's record of 165 goals in 315 matches. Nowhere near. We're talking, 22 extra goals in over 100 matches. Ian Wright was never a 1 in 5 striker. So we're going to dead that. We're not even going to talk about Defoe, because Defoe got 496 Premier League games and 162 goals. So he's even got like nearly 150 extra games to Ian for like 3 goals less. So we're not even going to discuss how Defoe even tried to worm his way into this discussion, because it just doesn't begin to make sense. To say he's better than Vardy, Kane, Defoe is a 15 goal a season man at his best at Sunderland. That's Jermaine Defoe's peak at Sunderland, getting 15 goals, getting 30 goals in 70 matches. That's him at his best. Ian were getting 26 in one season at his best. So to Vardy getting 24 in one season at his best, Harry Kane getting 30 in one season at his best, Robbie Fowler getting 30 in one season at his best. Yeah. you can't chat to those guys. So we're just going to get Defoe out of it. Defoe is barely in Tottenham's top 10 strikers of all time. So you being in the Premier League top 10 because of longevity is... I said he's better than Van Persie. That's what annoyed me. Van Persie scored more in the 2011-12 season, or matched you in the 2011-12 season, your best spell, your best two-year period in your career. And Van Persie scored in 20 games in that season. 20 games in that season. Crazy. Like, let's be grounded, please. But back to Cole. So even if you look at whole careers, Andy Cole scored 290 goals in 661 matches in his entire career. 290 goals. Whereas Ian Wright, in his whole career, scored over 300 goals. Yeah, over 300 goals. Like, we're not just going to limit it to one competition yet. Ian scored 333 goals in 659 games. So again, very similar goals. Ian has about 40 to 50 goals more than you in a very similar amount of games. You was a better footballer, better all-round, better link, better variety of goals, better quality of goals, and more goals. Some could argue in... Right, Ian got on my nerves when he went on an overlap. He went on an overlap and he had the nerve to say, oh, I think I would have thrived in that Man United team, blah, 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 blah. You joined the champions, yeah? Alan Smith had won 2 golden boots in 3 years prior to you joining and won 2 titles in 3 years. You joined the champions. If Arsenal didn't thrive in that time, you were a key component of that, because before you came, we were winning titles. Within Ian joined Arsenal in 1992, between 1991 and 1993, Arsenal won the League Cup and the FA Cup. 94 won the Cup Winners' Cup as well. So, you know, you can't talk about you would have thrived in that dressing room. You should have thrived in this one, because this one was more successful than them at that point. So if we didn't thrive, then you're going to have to take a look in the mirror. So I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. But yeah, I just want to put that Andy Cole, Ian Wright thing to bed once and for all. Ian's record far surpasses Andy's record. I don't buy Andy Cole's story about why he doesn't take penalties. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I saw you on the show with Rio, which I think is really good, by the way. I'm not a crazy fan about Rio's punditry, but I do quite enjoy his pod. Talking about a tapping's worth as much as a long range, a 35 yarder in the top corner. Where if that's your mentality, then why are you dismissing penalties? I just don't think Andy Cole's very good at penalties, which is why he didn't take them. So I don't believe that. So yeah, anybody has anything they want to debate about my theory on Defoe, Cole, Wright, I'll be on the timeline all day tomorrow, willing to discuss, debate, and whatever. But yeah, I've overrun my time. I will be recording again this time next week. Once again, apologies for the no episode last week. Hopefully I've cleared up everything that you was unsure of in yesterday's debate. And if there's anything you want me to discuss, any argument you want to have with me, just drop me an at and, you know, I'll discuss it next week, or we can get into it on the timeline and discuss it next week. But yeah, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week. Peace.